I welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call today. We are very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Gurudas Haridas Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji, are you present in the call, Prabhuji?
Yes, I am present. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Today Prabhuji is enlightening the topic on Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.22.45 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much to present on the call. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sainapatyam cha rajyam cha dandane tritvameva cha sarvalokadipatyam cha Vedashastra Vidarhati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, or the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. Purport. In this verse, it is very clearly stated that a kingdom, state, or empire must be governed under the instructions of saintly persons and Brahmanas like the Kumaras. When monarchy ruled throughout the world, the monarch was actually directed by a board of Brahmanas and saintly persons. The king, as administrator of the state, executed his duties as a servant of the Brahmanas. It was not that the kings or Brahmanas were dictators, nor did they consider themselves proprietors of the state. The kings were also well versed in Vedic literatures and thus were familiar with the injunction of Sri Isopanishad, Isa Vashyam Idam Sarvam. Everything that exists belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also claims that He is the proprietor of all planetary systems, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Since this is the case, no one can claim to be proprietor of the state. The king, president, or head of the state should always remember that he is not the proprietor but the servant. In the present age, the king or the president forgets that he is the servant of God and thinks of himself as servant of the people. The present democratic government is proclaimed to be a people's government, a government by the people and for the people, but this type of government is not sanctioned by the Vedas. The Vedas maintain that a kingdom should be governed for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and should therefore be ruled by a representative of the Lord. The head of a state should not be appointed if he is bereft of all Vedic knowledge. In this verse, it is clearly stated that Veda Shastra Vidarati, that all high government posts are especially meant for persons who are well conversant with the teachings of the Vedas. In the Vedas, there are definite instructions defining how a king, commander-in-chief, soldier, and citizen should behave. Unfortunately, there are many so-called philosophers in the present age who give instruction without citing authority, and many leaders follow their unauthorized instruction. Consequently, people are not happy. The modern theory of dialectical communism, set forth by Karl Marx and followed by communist governments, is not perfect. According to Vedic communism, no one in the state should ever starve. Presently, there are many bogus institutions which are collecting funds from public for the purpose of giving food to starving people, but these funds are invariably misused. According to the Vedic instructions, the government should arrange things in such a way that there will be no question of starvation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that a householder must see to it that even a lizard or a snake does not starve. They also must be given food. In actuality, however, there is no question of starvation because everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, and he sees to it that there is ample arrangement for feeding everyone. In the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, it is said, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidatati Kaman. The Supreme Lord supplies the necessities of life to everyone, and there is no question of starvation. If anyone starves, it is due to the mismanagement of the so-called ruler, governor, or president. It is clear, therefore, that a person who is not well-versed in the Vedic injunctions, Veda Shastravit, should not run for the election as president, governor, etc. Formerly, kings were Rajarishis, which meant that although they were serving as kings, they were as good as saintly persons because they would not transgress any of the injunctions of the Vedic scriptures and would rule under the direction of great saintly persons and brahmanas. According to this arrangement, modern presidents, governors, and chief executive officers are all unworthy of their posts because they are not conversant with Vedic administrative knowledge and they do not take direction from great saintly persons and brahmanas. Because of his disobedience to the orders of the Vedas and the Brahmanas, King Vena, Prithu Maharaj's father, was killed by the Brahmanas. Prithu Maharaj therefore knew very well that it behooved him to rule the planet as a servant of the saintly persons and Brahmanas. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सैनपत्यं च राज्यं च दंडनेत्रत्वमेव च सर्वलोकाधिपत्यं च वेदशास्त्र विदार्हति. सिंस ओनली अ पर्सन हू इज कंप्लीटली एजुकेटेड अकॉर्डिंग टू द प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ वेदिक नॉलेज डिसर्व्स टू बी कमांडर इन चीफ रूलर ऑफ द स्टेट द फर्स्ट टू चैस्टाइज or the proprietor of the whole planet. Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. So, instructions from Sanat Kumaras were completely delivered and they were about to leave. Maharaj Prithu is offering his words of gratitude, and as an offering of gratitude, he is not holding even a small atom to himself, and he is completely offering everything to the Sanat Kumaras. Not that he is offering them to them, stating that they all belong to mine. Now that because I received your blessings, I am giving it to you. he is very intelligently and philosophically putting it in practice and demonstrating to all his citizens what is Vedic life and what is the source of everything and what should be the destination of everything. This gesture of Maharaj Prithu is very profound. He had all obvious reasons to be elated, to be contented, to be showing off for his current state. He got a pat on his back from Brahma. He received Vishnu's blessings. He got all support of his countrymen who stand by him and consider him as God. Now Sanat Kumaras came and offered their special blessings. Assume that any one of us have got such a privilege. Hypothetically, at this point in time. We wouldn't know how to conduct or handle ourselves. But Maharaj Prithu is very nicely exhibiting his devotional gesture as well as a responsible king to put things in action. Srila Prabhupada has given a fantastic purport as always. So we will turn this current context through this shloka. So first and foremost reflection is to understand that all that we possess does not belong to us but for only one thing. Our doggish mentality and envious nature are the only one that belongs to us, which is unnatural to us, which is anti-spiritual to us, which is fully material. And the source of them is because of the misuse of free will. So this misuse of free will gives rise to different combinations within ourselves and puts us on a wrong spot to start to presume that I possess, I own, I win, I control. Especially when somebody is successful in life, pride comes along with them. We see that in our devotional journey as well, when we are still struggling with our anarthas and still making progress in Krishna consciousness, how many a times our so-called spiritual success brings in some sort of a head-weightedness, and some of us won't agree with this, but will definitely agree with what I'm going to say, that more than I feel happy about my achievement, I feel sad when somebody else achieves more than me, when somebody else is rewarded more than me, when somebody else is progressing better than me, I feel a pain or I feel some sort of a displeasure. That is a symptom of enviousness within the heart or the doggish mentality within the heart. And this doggish mentality and enviousness within the heart curtails us in acknowledging this fact that everything that we possess actually doesn't belong to us. If you can experiment on yourself, think of all your near and dear ones. Think of all our friends and relatives. Think of all our community members. Whenever they make progress, whenever they are rewarded, whenever they succeed, whenever they win, not along with us, ahead of us. If we have some butterflies flying in our stomach and if we have some sort of a discomfort, that is Kali Purusha who is ruling within ourselves. So the first reflection is to acknowledge this fact that we are, especially people in Kali Yuga, where Shastra says Kalau Shudra Sambhava, by and large, who are not, as described in this verse, very well versed in Vedic literature, very nicely it is explained, we cannot be the ruler of the state, we cannot even chastise, we cannot even do anything that is listed over here, which otherwise we are trying to do it. And the so-called world, the so-called materialistic world, makes us believe that we are the controllers. So the reflection here is to accept this fact that there are only two truths in this world. I've been telling this in many, many forums and many, many discussions. Number one is the absolute truth. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And number two, everything in this world belongs to Krishna. So Krishna and Krishnas are the two truths. Rest everything else, if at all, as a conception that we have, is Maya. Krishna and Krishnas is the right understanding to have, because Isa Vashyam Idam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat. Isa Upanishad very clearly says, and Prabhupada refers it here. But unfortunately, theoretically we know this. The reason I use unfortunately is because theoretically only we have been knowing this. By putting it in practice, we have a bigger challenge because we have a constant fight with Kali and Kali is constantly winning and we are always on the losing streak. So Maharaj Prithu, to reinstate the righteousness that King Vena has completely destroyed, knowing that in the future nobody else should point out, Prithu Maharaj demonstrated by his own actions to say, in spite of him being the ruler of such a big country, such a big responsibility. He's publicly saying that all that I possess actually does not belong to me. They are all yours. He is going to emphasize on that even in the next shloka. So the usage of my life, my wife, my children, Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport, both in text number 44 as well as 46. He says how a disciple all the other members of Varnashrama offer the credit to the Brahmanas, and technically speaking, even though the Brahmanas are not sitting on the chair and ruling, they are the ones who are taking the shot and they are the ones who are directing, and under their direction the whole country is being, or whole decisions are being taken. So to draw a parallel to our own Krishna consciousness life, it is extremely important for us to remember that if any progress, any achievement, any success that we have made in our devotional life, the credit should be offered to our predecessors. And if there is any lacuna and if there is any shortcoming, we should take responsibility. So the first reflection is two parts. Number one is Krishna and Krishna's. Rest, everything else is Maya. Number two is that every success, every achievement, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and all our acharyas, and every so-called delay and failure, we take responsibility and work on it. That is why we cannot renounce anything, because nothing belongs to us. We officially cannot claim anything as ours, because again nothing belongs to us. So if I can neither renounce nor claim, so what am I supposed to do with things in the world? I mean, what am I supposed to, I can, how do I deal with them? How do I associate with objects, people, relationships, responsibilities? Prabhupada gives a superb example. And somebody is walking by the Bank of America and says that I am renouncing Bank of America, people will call him madman, because it doesn't belong to him to renounce. So if you renounce something that you don't own, you are mad. If I can not renounce, how can I even claim? So it brings into a very tricky situation of what are we supposed to do? And how do I refer to the objects and things and relationship in my life? My reflection is that everything that we are bestowed with, that we are given, that we are put into, they all actually belong to Krishna, but they are in our care. It is like how I am in a rental apartment. Whenever I go home, I tell to my friends I'm going home. Every time I don't say that I'm going to my rental house. I'm going to my rental house. We don't say that. We inherently know that we are living in a rental apartment. But so long as we are living there, subconsciously we are clear that it is not our own. And we are definitely conscious enough to maintain them in such a capacity that if it were ours, how we would have maintained it? Because if you damage them, you are definitely answerable. So in the care of, so basically it is to be understood that anything that comes our way, if you learn to recognize it as Krishna and utilize in Krishna's service, then we are properly situated. This is a fundamental understanding. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Suni Taiva Swapagecha Pandita Samadarshina. If you extrapolate that sloka of how a learned Brahmana sees different things, a dog, dog eater, elephant, different personalities, how they see each of them as spirit souls, how they connect everything with respect to the Supreme Lord. Similarly, he understands that everything that he possesses also belongs to the Supreme Lord. So he learned to connect, to dovetail back every resource that comes his way in the service of the Supreme Lord. That is why he is never entangled, he is never overwhelmed, he is never poor, he is never rich. Because when he has surplus money, he knew that this is Krishna's. When he has shortfall of money, he knew that Krishna has his other plans. So the reason why Brahmanas are considered the ones beyond dualities, Vaishnavas, Paramahamsas, are considered beyond dualities, because any amount of duality cannot bother them. So this is my first reflection. So in our own Krishna consciousness life, this reflection, maybe many times I have churned this, but this is very important in different contexts. It makes sense, but in this context also it makes sense. And for us to repeatedly hear this, it's important, because somewhere as practicing devotees, we miss this application. We knew this as a theory, but when it comes to application, that's where we miss. Here we see the courage and, you know, boldness of Maharaj Prithu to declare, saying that this all belongs to yours. We are just accepting your remnants because your mercy, because you allowed us, because you empowered us. I'm functioning. Second reflection. Sometimes people may argue, the so-called communists, proper actually, you know, hates these all isms, democracy, communisms. You know, Prabhupada very strongly makes statements against these all ideologies, because they are all directed towards sensual perception, and individualistic ideology does not talk about any collective whole. Does not talk about the Supreme Lord. So the reflection is, Maharaj Prithu, look at the amount of gratitude. The gratitude that he is showing for the blessings that he received. So in our spiritual life, gratitude happens to be a very important component. And Maharaj Prithu was highly grateful . He says in verse number 43, my dear Brahmana, you have carried out the order thoroughly because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty therefore to offer you something, but all I possess are but remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. What shall I give? So he is not giving in the propensity of showing off. Is giving the propensity of a person in a humble state of mind, and says, I would like to offer. A typical person, a so-called modern educated persons,
they question, what is this Brahmana all about? He is hardly doing any work. He is just telling them, Vedic hymns. We are the ones who are doing hard labor. So the laborers are, to be paid more than those sitting in the temple and giving some mantras. It's imperative to know that a person who contributes in the direction of life, from the amount of time that he has spent with us, is not so relevant in comparison to the quality of instruction that we have received. I repeat, it is not about the amount of time somebody has spent with us. It is about the quality of instruction that we receive. Srila Prabhupada's personal association with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in terms of total amount of man hours Srila Prabhupada had spent with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj in terms of Vapu Seva, personal association. I may be wrong in my numbers, but it is not definitely substantial enough like what we all, could take. It may be put together, it may be like few months. If we calculate all the amount of hours accrue them together, calculate them to number of hours divided by 24, we say number of days, it's very less. Even in terms of exchanges through letters, it is also a little, handsome only. It is also a little handful. But in terms of the quality of instructions that Srila Prabhupada carried from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and in return, Srila Prabhupada is offering every success of his preaching mission to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, not holding back any one single thing. He says, all the successes that I am seeing is because of my spiritual master. And I see all of you as my spiritual master's representative. He is telling his own disciples, to whom he sometimes chastises, to whom he sometimes says, he says that you are all sent by my spiritual masters to fulfill the mission that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. If you rewind yourself back 50-100 years, when there were no GPS systems, when there were no technology to give you directions, when you want to move from one place to another place, especially if we talk about India, we keep asking people. And in those days, in general, people either they say they don't know or they'll tell you the right direction. So if you see, hypothetically, we are talking to an ideal candidate. You are going on a long distance journey. And if a person who gives you direction to drive to your destination may have spent only few minutes in the entire journey, but had he not given the direction, for us the amount of time you would have consumed in going the wrong way and finding it out you have reached the wrong destination and once again do it will be too costly. So the process of Krishna consciousness is so sublime upon us. What if you are asked that, Prabhuji and Mataji, you all please take Rig Veda, start, studying the first few chapters of them, interpret them, come up with your own understanding, then we discuss and debate, and then we'll talk about different other classifications of Rig Veda, then we get into the other side of Vedas, then we do Agamas, then we go on and on and on with all the Vedic literature, and finally we will derive our own conclusions. For sure we will not even move anywhere. So Srila Prabhupada, and over here, Sanat Kumaras have given wonderful nectar, directly consumable then and there, immediately applicable, not giving any rosy, different complicated pictures. Very simple, straightforward, to be applied instructions, and then we receive such instructions which are direct access to the spiritual world. Our endeavor to travel few more lifetimes, otherwise we are saved by such great personalities. So what is the amount of gratitude one should show? So if you club it with the first point, where nothing actually belongs to us, so technically speaking, what else we have to do? We are supposed to offer ourselves. Because Krishna is actually looking for us, not for anything else. Because he knew everything belongs to him, so whenever he wants, he can take it back. He doesn't need any of our rights. Krishna can take back our life, Krishna can take back our wealth, Krishna can take back everything that he has given to us, without asking any permission from us. But Krishna cannot take us to him without our permission, because he has given us free will. Because Krishna wants us to love him. If you do not love him, Krishna cannot, you know, Krishna could have, you know, kept a revolver on Arjuna's head and said, "Hey, I am Supreme Lord, damn, you do what I ask you to do. Just go and shoot." He could have done that. You know why Bhagavad Gita, why all these stories, why he has to go and say that, "You need again, I'll speak for another 45 minutes. So the reflection here is that in the process of Krishna consciousness, again, the second point also has got two reflections. Number one is to say that the gratefulness that we need to show towards our predecessors and fellow devotees who are helping us to practice Krishna consciousness. And hence, every act of ours should be layered with gratitude and humility. And the part two of this is, the best way to offer gratitude and humility is to offer ourselves. That is why in the process of Krishna consciousness, we have to offer ourselves. I used to always tell our congregation devotees, if you think that ISKCON is coming and asking you donations from you, please don't, you know, think otherwise. We do not need your money. Krishna needs you. Today, we are attached to our money. That is why we take your money. You say you are not attached to money, you are attached to something else, we will ask that. Because Krishna wants somehow or other, we get attached to him. Today, our identification of ourselves with our wealth. Today is our identification with our position. We identify ourselves with our name, fame, followers. The day we say that, no, I don't identify myself with any of these things, we are half sadhu anyway that time. So the biggest reason why such endeavors are also made is, where when we ask people to give money, give this, give that, at least somewhere or other, some portion of us, which we think is ours, we give, so that we start, you know, surrendering to the Supreme Lord. So hence the second portion of second reflection is that we need to learn to give ourselves to the Supreme Lord. If we don't learn to give ourselves to the Supreme Lord, then Supreme Lord will find his own ways and means to get us. Because Krishna has got Lakshmi, Krishna has got Chintamani Dham, Krishna has got Kalpaka Vriksha, Krishna has got Surabhi cows, Krishna has got enough girlfriends, Krishna has got everything, but Krishna does not have you and me, because we are here and we are denying to go back. Like Indra denied to go back with Brahma when Brahma came and said that your punishment period is over. So go and tell any American or Indian, modern Indian kid, a story of Indra's curse to become a pig. You don't tell Indra background, you just hypothetically go and tell the kid a story. Like this could be a very good Sunday school exercise. If somebody has not tried, you can try this. Just go and tell the kids the story of a king who had been wealthy, healthy, successful, royal. Somehow he did an offense and he got punished. Became a pig. After 1 year of punishment, His boss is coming and calling you, your punishment is over, come back. The king denied, saying that I'm happy with my family and children and enjoying my food. What would you think about that person? I mean, if you leave it there and ask everybody to write, I'm sure nobody would say anything against what you would think. Everybody would say that that king is stupid. He should go back. Because this place is not his permanent place. The place is he was a king. He's supposed to be enjoying there. He is much better off there than being in the, you know, filthy place. This exactly is applicable to each and every one of us. He doesn't belong to this place, but we identify ourselves with this place. Without realizing what we are supposed to be in, we are somehow or other beating around the bush here, not realizing that we are actually in a filthy place. So hence, we need to somehow or other realize this fact, offer our gratitude, and the way of offering our gratitude is completely offer ourselves to this process of Krishna consciousness and become the soldier of Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. The third is an interesting part that Srila Prabhupada is speaking over here about the qualification of a leader vis-à-vis the government or the ruler. For sure, it's a very obvious fact that we are definitely living in a world where we are ruled by people who think they know, while they don't know. Even the normal political science or common sense, they miss. What to speak of the spiritual science? When Bharat Maharaj and Lord Ram went to the forest, King Bharata could have very well ruled for 14 long years. But King Bharata realized, he knew, because he was a learned person, he knew what is the criteria for ruling. So actually 14 years, he ruled the country as commander-in-chief, or whatever you can call the second in line, and made Lord Ram's Paduka shoes. That is why there is a specific chapter in Ramayana called Paduka Pattabhishekam. It means coronation of Lord Ram's shoes. I'm not sure how modern scientists will even interpret this. But in spiritual context, there is no difference between Lord Ram's shoes, Lord Ram's name, Lord Ram's personality, Lord Ram's Leela, because everything is divine, transcendental. So we all know that Lord Ram's shoes are as powerful, as potent as Lord Ram ruling. So he carried Lord Ram's shoes on his forehead, kept in the, you know, he did a coronation actually, he did a ceremony, and he ruled. He knew that this entire process of ruling has got a responsibility tied up with this. And not only there is a responsibility, there is a divinity connected to this. Yesterday evening we were discussing in our Bhagavatam session that there are researches being done now, because people nowadays want everything to be logically, scientifically explained. So there are some researches, scholarly philosophy and as well as scientific researches being done on various water bodies. And this research is that anybody who gets an association with a specific water with specific set of consciousness, I can forward later the scientific research on this. I got a full book and research on that. Suppose, for example, if I am in an agitated state of mind, suppose if I am in a state of mind which is completely disturbing, anguish, envious, lusty, greedy, egoistic, and I try to, you know, handle the water, touch the water, or use the water molecules, the chemical combinations in the water is distorted. When I come in contact with water, with some specific set of words, love, care, sympathy, appreciation, then the water body is different. When I come in contact with some words, with some sort of a very divine thinking. So this guy has done a research. In this entire research, he has established the fact that how sound vibrations and our consciousness directly impacts the external things. He has done research on water, somebody has done research on apple, somebody has done research on, you know, how different sound vibrations have got impact on people. So this guy who has done research on water, his theory is 70% of our body is water. And if you have right set of consciousness, if you have right set of mantras chanted, then the molecules that are assembled, that are positioned, are so nicely arranged in such a way that you remain sane. So when we read that how we have a sacred water, when we do achaman, we chant with the mantra, we say, you know, sprinkling the water and purifying the place. When these all stories are told, and how by just sprinkling of water some places became pure, or our, you know, younger generations will believe that is all some non-detailed stories. But then the research have been, you know, proved that this is science. The reason I'm, you know, narrating back is that why Vedic knowledge has got a, you know, relevance to ruling the citizen, ruling the country. Vedic knowledge is about God consciousness and how Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and how everything is Krishna's arrangement. But here, even the administrative part of it, even political, cultural, social, ecological, so many other aspects of this entire society is also linked ultimately to the Supreme Lord. If you are not properly conscious, if you are not Krishna conscious, you will not be able to handle any one of them and everything will go out of order. So Srila Prabhupada is time and again repeatedly told. One police officer came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, we are spending tens and thousands of dollars in bringing in peace and harmony in the society. But all our efforts, all our strategies, all our schemes are not giving us 100% results that we expect. Srila Prabhupada said, please give that money to us for the Sankirtan movement. We will demonstrate how to rule the world and lead the world. So the whole point is that it is not just an emotional statement by Srila Prabhupada. It's a scientific statement. Because if somebody is connected, tuned up to the Harinam Sankirtan, to the process of Krishna consciousness, if his consciousness is sane, he will be able to understand and connect himself to the source. And when he is connecting himself to the source, he will be able to, you know, percolate down that consciousness to command in line, and everything can be in order. So this whole arrangement of the society being ruled by people who are not Krishna conscious is a big problem for us. So to draw a parallel to our current context, what do we do now? So we knew this, there's nothing new to us. So we do from reverse, downward up, or at least can we do something within our house as a husband and wife? Can we help each other in making sure that whatever little circle of influence that we have, we try to influence in such a manner that we lead our life according to Vedic principles? Can we help our children? Can we help our extended family? Can we help our extended community? Srila Prabhupada very categorically uses the word chief executive officers. So chief executive officers does not necessarily mean those who are in government positions. Those who are ruling, those who are controlling organizations. Those who are running organizations. So there are some spiritual aspects connected to that. if the spiritual aspects are not kept intact, then we will be completely misdirected, and the effect of it will bind our own legs. We will ourselves be victim of our own policies and will not even realize that. What we sown, we will only reap it, and we will only be victim to that own seed, which is a poison that we didn't realize at that point in time. So the third reflection hence is, as a part of our Krishna consciousness endeavor, whilst we fully acknowledge, we realize, we are also experiencing the evil effects of those ruling us without being properly, you know, having Krishna conscious understanding. If we need to change, somewhere the change should begin. Let's begin the change from a very limited capacity. If collectively such a small pockets of change that can happen, for sure at some point in time, we will be some good handful of people to go to the next higher level, The intent may not necessarily be that we rule, but intent could as well be we help them, those who rule. Brahmanas, so technically devotees, they say, no, Prabhu, I will not rule, that is Maya. Fine, you don't need to rule if you cannot handle yourself. But you can always give directions. You can be friend with people who are ruling. You can be exemplary enough that people look up to you. And I'm sure some of our ISKCON leaders are doing that. Some of our great, you know, devotees in our movement, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, so many Maharajas, they are doing a very powerful, profound preaching of whatever they are doing in UK Parliament, whatever they are trying to do in the United States, whatever they are trying to do with so many diplomats. There's a very nice, wonderful initiative being taken by few of our great devotees, and that's very commendable. The reason is, this is important because we, as a bona fide process of Krishna consciousness, if we help in such a capacity, the generations to come will take advantage. But at that level, when devotees are working at the ground bottom level, we should also be responsible enough in coping up with what is happening and trying to set a precedence in how to lead a life. If we are also getting conditioned to the so-called materialistic world, to the so-called materialistic lifestyle, then we will lose the game. And I'll end this with a small statement. Whenever Srila Prabhupada writes this word, conditioned soul, please meditate on the word conditioned. Without even you and me realizing, every moment of our life, we are conditioned. We are getting constantly conditioned. Even though we may wear kanti mala, tilak, shika, whatever that we may call as a devotee attire, we are getting conditioned. When we watch Facebook, we are getting conditioned. When we are reading newspaper, we are getting conditioned. When we are getting married, we are getting conditioned. When we are getting the job, we are getting conditioned. The reason we are getting conditioned is because something good in us, we are losing it to something bad. The converse of this is inspiring. Are we inspiring people or are we getting conditioned? Very less number of people are inspiring others. What is inspiring is, instead of me losing something in me, I give something good in me to others. So what is expected out of us is, just because we got through this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, we should become a source of inspiration to our near and dear ones, rather than we become a conditioned one and losing the good fortune that we are bestowed with. So Maharaj Prithu is trying to set a role model for us, and I'm sure our own predecessor Acharyas have also demonstrated them. One of the greatest contributions from our Acharyas is not only their instructions, it is also their lifestyle. It is also their life. That is why we are always encouraged to read the life history of our Acharyas. What they spoke, they practiced. Look at their life history, look at where they were born, how they were leading their life, how they implemented every instruction in their life. If you read the cross sections of them, it is not that they also had a hunky-dory, you know, rosy life. They had their own journey, and they still demonstrated how they led a principle-centric life. So in our own personal capacity, for sure, at this point in time, we may not have a rights and power to go and change what government should be thinking of, what the policy decisions should be, that let us leave it to the capable people to handle them. But our own, with a limited capacity, we should definitely lead a principle-centric life and help us win more and more souls to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And first is, we should help ourselves to win, not get conditioned, and remain a source of inspiration. So thank you so much for engaging me in the service. I always look forward for this Sangha and to share some thoughts. If I have not said anything coherently, excuse me, and if there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very nice class, very nice you have explained everything. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you, Madhavi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you. Koti Koti Dhanwat Pranam, as usual, very magnificent class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanwat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anybody has any questions or comments? Good. So,
you're going to yes, right?
Hare Krishna, is there anybody? If nobody has a question, we can end the call here by offering obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarobhyasya cha kripa sindubhyeva cha jagadika vibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti vaishnavriddhi ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Ram Girdhari Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Ram Girdhari Prabhuji, for the beautiful class. Hare Krishna.